Hello and welcome to the Sid Warrior podcast. The audio you're listening to has been taken from the live video podcast from my YouTube channel, Siddharth Warrior. All right, we are live. Hi everyone. Hi chat. Welcome. Welcome to today's podcast. I hope that you're all having a good time. Let me give a big welcome to Haley Shah. Haley, welcome.
Hello, hi.
How are you?
I am great and really, really excited. Look, I put efforts.
Wow. Poetry and podcast with Dr. Sid and Haley.
Yeah, your name is too long, so I had to do Dr. Sid.
Dude, I don't use my full name on the stream title.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And that actually sounds like a TV show.
Yeah.
Poetry and podcast. Yeah. Yeah, that we can do that.
Good alliteration.
Yeah, that's what even I thought, that if you're doing podcast and poetry does go together, though. I mean, it's just different forms of conversation.
True.
Hannah?
Fair. Yeah. Right. It's just all very content, like quality heavy, audio heavy content.
Yes. And you could explore things that you couldn't have explored in a normal conversation. If it's a podcast or if it's a poem.
True.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Haley, what's up? How is your poetry going on?
Poetry's flowing.
Wow.
I don't know. It's good, yeah. I mean, I think I am right now going through a bit of a block, which is a very fascinating phase in itself. But then I am also trying to tell myself that don't like put your writing on a pedestal that you'll just write when you're like, oh, only when like some great idea strikes me I will write. Like, just write every day, even if it's not that great,
right?
So I'm trying to make my brain understand that.
it's a very difficult challenge, because as poets we do tend to think of our own art as something that's like a gift from God, and so you think that if it's not coming then it's not meant to be, and you wait for that magical moment where poetry just flows out.
Yeah, and I've realized that like the more and more you practice this craft, you realize it's science and not magic. Like,
yes, if you break it down, you can reverse engineer art. You can reverse engineer poetry.
Exactly, yeah.
And how words fit together can be an accident, or it can be something that you do consciously. I think Stephen King had said that the best way to become an author is to just show up every day and just write a page, and suddenly you are one of the biggest authors in the world.
True. I think the biggest problem we have as writers is our own self, our own thoughts, like, because we end up filtering, like, jab hum likhne bhi baithte, a lot of times first drafts are so difficult for us because we end up filtering ourselves so much. But the first draft should be streams of consciousness.
Yeah.
So it should just be free flowing. But even I'm guilty of that. Like, I erase more than I write, I feel sometimes. Which is not possible, I know. But yeah.
One step forward, two steps back.
That's pretty much.
Do you think that's because we expect this perfection, this perfect poem on the first flow?
That's what I'm saying. So we set some, like, at least that's what I'm telling myself, that don't set such high standards for yourself, even with the first draft. Like, allow yourself to just write some bad things also, so that something good can become, like, can come out of it later.
Ironically, it's almost a form of laziness.
It is. Oh, if you really think about it, like, I've reached that point where I'm like, am I being a perfectionist or am I just lazy?
Yeah, there's a thin line between perfectionist and lazy.
And stop calling me out. I'm literally here on your show, Sid.
I'm just saying it because I relate to it, because I used to fall back on the definition of perfectionist, and then I realized I'm just procrastinating. There is no perfection here. I'm not even willing to.
And we're, as poets, we are the ones who are fighting the definitions of perfect. We're like, who set the definition? And then we fall prey to it ourselves.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate superpower to have. Because as poets, you can change the way the language works. So we could just set up one day and say, what is perfection anyway?
Exactly. That's your next poem, Sid.
Wow.
Perfection is a form of laziness.
It's true. I want to know just for so that I get, perspective. How many of you guys in the chat, how many of you have written poems? How many of you see yourself as poets? And how many of you have written that one secret poem that you've kept in that diary inside your cupboard that you wrote when you fell in love for the first time, or the first time you had a heartbreak and you thought that you're never going to share it with somebody? You don't have to share it right now, but I just want to know, have you written a poem? So just let me know so that I know that everybody's in the chat is sort of, on that same wavelength when we talk about it. All right. All right. People are confessing. People have written. You should check out the poetry corner in your Discord. I do check it out. I do read it. Although not as much as I should, but yes, I do read it. Too secret, feel embarrassed about that. All right. Haley, did you start off writing poems in secret?
I guess in a way, because for me, it became like an outlet for my feelings. So it did feel in the beginning as like a diary of sorts, where you're just like sharing your thoughts and feelings. So sometimes it's about negative stuff. So you're like hiding it, because you want to keep it to yourself. But I think I did find a lot of like a different sort of joy in sharing that, even though when I started writing, I used to just share it with my friends.
Of course.
But there is some joy in even doing so. Like if I had a fight with a friend and then I wrote a poem, then like this is how I would tell her that, hey, I got upset. This is what I wrote, just so that she would understand it better.
It's like an intellectual defense mechanism where you are allowing yourself the time and space to, because in a way you cannot write a poem without detaching yourself a little bit at least, right? You can't. You have to take at least half a step back in order to write a poem.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's true.
So
I think I've also felt that, and now, more so now, where I feel like you can't write about something that you're going through. Like you have to be out of it to an extent to be able to write about it, or like out of it in the sense that you basically have to process the parts of it that you're going to write about. Or yeah, like you said, take a step back, detach yourself in some way so that you can have some objective view of it,
Some
to
third
be able to.
person perspective of how everything, all the parts intermingle.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if that can be used as a legitimate defense mechanism, or at least a legitimate coping mechanism, because I know of art therapy, and a lot of times art therapy does use different forms of art to help people come to terms with, whatever they're going through, trauma. And this is a great way, helping somebody write poetry.
I think that's also one way. I think there are people who write when they're going through something, like when they're in the heat of their hurt, and then share it much later when they're able to deal with it. And then there are people who cannot write then, write much later, and then choose to share whenever they can. But I think everyone has a different way to cope with it. I think there are days when I also want to write things as and when they happen, but sometimes if I feel like you should just feel it through and through before you put it down.
Before,
So.
sometimes you don't want to step back. You want that emotion is too strong and too precious to give up, and you don't want to turn away even for a second to write that
Yeah, and
poem.
it's the experience, no? First you have to live it to be able to write about it. So
Wow. Yeah, that is true.
sometimes just let yourself live it.
I sometimes feel that poetry is a form of photographing moments. Because when
It's
you
literary photography.
exactly, it's you use words to capture a moment as in as much detail as you can, because there's no other way to completely capture that emotion. And when you read an old poem of yours, suddenly you're back there and you're feeling all the things that you had felt when you wrote it. Does this happen a lot with you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a sort of time travel for sure, especially when you're someone who writes narrative poetry, where you're like narrating like this whole thing of your life, like a whole scene that happened in your life. So yeah, definitely it is that.
It's I think about like how life and poetry are so intermingled. So you have life influencing the poems that you write all the time, and then back and vice versa. You have, because you wrote a particular poem, now you look at things differently.
Yeah. Sometimes I go and see some of my old poems or something that, like, an observation that I made earlier, and I'm just like, I should have taken my own, like,
own advice.
Yeah, like, just, I should have taken my own perspective and dealt with things this way again, you know?
I have gone back to poems that I've written when I was, when did you start writing? Just out of curiosity.
Like, 5th or 6th grade.
Yeah.
Like 10 or 11 years old, that's how old I was, yeah.
Yeah, and since then it's been a constant journey. You've never had
When I started, it wasn't as consistent. It would be like one of those things where, like, oh, I can't, it was very sporadic.
Yeah.
And I think it became more and more consistent with time for sure. And now it's like the consistency probably peaked once I started doing it professionally.
Right.
Yeah.
So that actually makes a big difference. And that is a jump that a lot of people would not make. Because everybody in the chat who has said that they write poetry, out of those, how many of you actually even consider going professional? It's not something that everybody can, that's not a jump that everybody can make. And of course, there will be multiple reasons for it. But one of the main things, I think, is because we are not encouraged to do that. We don't grow up thinking that performing poetry is a legitimate career choice.
For sure, yeah.
Even for you, it must have been... What is that transition like from going from a traditional space to this?
I think for me, the biggest shocker was that, oh, you can go up on stage and read your original composition. That is a thing.
And earn money from it.
Like, I think that was something that I saw it, like, I saw that happen in Bombay, and like when I came here for college, and I saw that there is this thing called, like, open mics that happen, and there are these venues where people go and just perform poetry, and I was like, oh wow, like that's a real thing. And before this, I mean, the most you would do in terms of getting your work out there was, like, for me at least in school, it was maybe getting a poem published in the school magazine.
Yeah.
You know, that's how limited the scope was.
Right.
So to see this happen in this way, and then to have someone offer me money to go and perform at a live show, it was bizarre. Like, it was not something that I would have even imagined. And yeah, like, even something for my parents to understand. Like, even now, I think sometimes they struggle with it, and they tell me, oh, you know, like, why are you not uploading videos more regularly? And I'm just like, poetry as an art form takes time. It's not one of those, you know, like, it's not the kind of content I can create on a every single day basis. Like, I can, I'm not saying I can't, but it's not like, it's also for me, it's like, if I want quality, then it will take me time to write and craft each and every piece.
Yeah.
So of course I can write every day, but will I be able to put out 4 videos a week? Probably not. You know?
I love that from a parent's perspective. Even if you are doing something that is non-traditional and something that they cannot fully wrap their head around,
yeah,
they can still manage to feel disappointed.
Yeah, honestly, like, they see, I mean, I think after like seeing my videos online, my parents have started following, like, content creators on YouTube. Video aata hai. Beta, tumhara kyun nahi aata?
It's the YouTube version of Sharma ji ki beti ko dekho.
It is the YouTube version, and it's crazy. I'm like, I'm really happy that y'all are so progressive and supportive, but itna bhi nahi. I like that space where you did not know that this is what I'm supposed to do.
I mean, oh, you can bring Indian parents out of their comfort zone, but they will still be Indian parents.
Yeah.
No, that's incredible. And that's actually one of the amazing things about them, that I feel that a lot of Indian kids in our generation, they overperform or they outperform themselves because they have a point to prove. That is my theory.
Isliye bulaya tha na stream pe.
Wait, are your parents in front of you? If so, namaste, auntie.
No, they're not.
No, but it's just a theory of mine that having something to prove to somebody is a great motivation. Great motivation. It just makes you a better version of yourself if you can do it in a healthy way.
Yeah. So are you saying that I should ask them to still stay disappointed in me so that I keep outperforming? Like,
well, yes. If that is what is your primary motive, then yes, definitely. But hopefully that now it's not though, right? Like poetry itself becomes a motive after some time. No. Well, okay then. Now you know what you have to do.
Yes. Thanks. Noted. Duly noted.
What was the turning point of, in terms of inspiration? Like that one poem that you read or you saw and you looked at it and said, damn, I want to do that.
I think for me, when it comes to spoken word, mm-hmm. it has to be like all these artists that first started putting out videos. Like,
yeah.
Initially I saw Indian artists more, and I had seen like Aranya Johar and Mohammed Sadriwala and
yeah.
all of these artists at first. And I was like, oh my God, and Priya Malik. And
yeah.
I was like, this is a thing and I want to do this,
mm.
you know? And I didn't... at the time, I didn't even know how to go about it or how to reach out to the platforms or how to do that. But then, of course, as and when like I started to explore spoken word scene more, I realized there are so many international poets too who are just amazing, like Andrea Gibson, Shane, then Rudy Francisco,
yeah.
and all of these, absolutely, Olivia Gatewood, Blythe Baird. I can just, they're endless. There's an endless list, and
yeah.
they're all so amazing. I think... Sarah K?
Sarah K,
yeah.
absolutely. I was waiting
Sarah
for
K,
you to say
K.
that.
Yeah. And I was just like, damn, I want to do that. Like,
yeah.
I want to create that magic that even though I'm watching a video, I can still, like, I can just imagine what it must be like to see this.
For me, Harry Baker was a huge inspiration. Just the idea of how you can combine poetry and science and maths and...
Yeah.
put it together in a way that can be performed.
Yes.
Was incredible.
Incredible, true.
And even Sarah K, of course, I think for spoken word, the way they did, what was the duet that they did on Love?
When Love Arrives.
When Love Arrives. It blew my mind because I've never seen anything like it.
Hmm.
And since then, I've actually been thinking that you should definitely try and collaborate in poetry because that's not something that I've ever done. But the idea that it even can be done is incredible
yeah.
because then it becomes like rap because rappers collaborate with each other all the time. And in a way, it is like that. It is you are collaborating on spoken word.
Yeah. Yeah. And just the exchange of ideas, like what we're doing right now, just this conversation. Imagine
yeah.
if we were writing a poem and it's just so rich, like because of our like... There are similarities, there are contrasts in our thoughts and opinions.
Yeah.
I think introducing that into a poem would just add so much more richness to it. So I think...
Yeah, so the more contrasting your perspectives are, or if you're coming from very different places, but if you have that common connecting thread of poetry,
yeah.
that would just make the poem far different than what you and I could have created by ourselves at any point.
Exactly. And I think that's why even introducing music to poetry that sort of feeling, that charm.
Yeah.
Because when you do, like there are so many performances or pieces you must have seen jahan pe, like, it's not just music, but it's also like there is someone singing certain parts of it and then there is spoken word. It just like, it's just so much more flavorful and like, I think, yeah, it's just that drama, that X factor that you need. Like, I think sometimes it just adds so much more, like enhances the performance.
It's such a lovely thought that a poem can become anything. Like, poetry is just the beginning.
Yeah.
And
it is.
Yeah.
And honestly, people think that like spoken word is something that's like a new art form and stuff, but
it's not.
It's been there for generations, for
yeah.
ages. Like, India mein mushaire hote the.
Right.
Usse bhi pehle se, I mean, the oral form of storytelling has existed since civilization.
Before prose, yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Like before people could print things down, like people would share folk songs in the format of rhymes so that it was easier to pass down.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think we are all just building off of that, and it can only get like more and more like multi-dimensional from here, you know.
There are actually studies that show how children can learn poetry much faster than they can learn prose. And so you still remember all your nursery rhymes, but you don't remember any of the textbooks, the paragraphs that you have read, because of all the rhythm, the rhyme, the patterns that your brain sees. So that makes sense why all the earlier texts in Sanskrit, everything used to be in couplets, in verses that you can sing along.
True.
Because that's how it, that you can almost say that you can think in poems if you train yourself instead of thinking in prose. If you allow your brain to work like that, it is just pattern recognition.
Yeah.
And if you do that long enough, you will find that reality arranges itself to fit into couplets, or you'll fit into metaphors, and everything will become that way.
Yeah.
And I love that thought.
Definitely. I think this now is a good time for you to share something, like a poem, maybe something you've read or of your own.
I'll tell you what. Let's share a couple of poems that has inspired you or me. Like I had actually noted down a couple of poems that had really impressed me. Let's see. Now let me quickly see what chat is up to.
Yes.
Aditya Prasad. All right, wait. What are you guys saying? I think poems started from India. Anime fanboy, I think that we can't really say that. I think poetry has existed in all cultures and they came in all languages. What are they saying? Aditya Sanya started watching poetry of listening to Haley for the first time. Kya baat hai?
Oh, that's so nice.
Wow. All right. Then
thank you so much.
And anime fanboy is also a fan. The only incredible poet I know is Haley. All right.
Thank you.
Oh, Prakhar is here. Hi, Prakhar. So Prakhar and I were just talking about this stream actually, and how we're going to talk about poetry. And do you know that we do this series called the Trifecta Conversations?
Yes.
And yeah, we take up one topic and we just try to discuss it from different angles. So next up, we are going to take up poetry inspired from this conversation. We are going to discuss every aspect of poetry. And I think we are going to talk about rap as well. So anybody who is asking about when is the next Trifecta going to be on? That's what we are going to do. Why ice cream? Wait, what? No, that I don't get. I think everybody refers to emotions, but the person they relate to. That's fair. The emotion does come first. All right. Poem versus ghazal difference. Wow, Arnav. So
guys,
ghazal...
jaldi say, okay, 1 second.
Yeah.
Please like the stream. There are so many people watching. Why aren't there enough likes?
Wait, how many likes are there? I never check this. Okay, 95. Come on, guys. 100 to kari do, yaar. This is embarrassing. Guys, you're embarrassing me in front of my guest. Okay, what is this?
Let's get it to 100.
Yeah, 100 to ho jayega. 100 to ho gaya. Okay.
Amazing.
What's your favorite poem? Do you have one? Do you have one that really inspired you? Then I'll...
I'm not going to do like my favorite poem because favorite keeps changing. Favorite
That's true.
Is a very... invalid word
that
would have existed.
That's
I'll do the my recent one that I found, jo mujhe bahut achhi lagi, aur ye ek ghazal hai.
Arey wow, go ahead.
Also because pata hai, I've realized ki hum jo poetry padhte hai, to depending on what stage we are in our lives, like hume us hisab se pasand bhi aati hai poetry. To usse bhi fark padta hai. That's why we should not have a concept of favorite. Was my point.
I love that, and I love that you corrected me on this, because it's almost like you are looking at mirrors. So the poem that you are thinking about the most probably reflects the kind of person that you are at that time.
Yeah. Wow. Now I feel.
Okay. No judgment on you.
Expired really quickly.
Oh wow, no, we are not going to judge. Chat, we are very non-judgmental over here, okay? Whatever Haley reads, we are not going to think about. All right.
No, chalega. So
okay, chalo, theek hai.
Theek hai. So ye ghazal hai Ahmed Faraz sahab ki. Aur jo log jante hain Ahmed Faraz sahab pyar pe bahut likhte hain. To theek hai. कुर्बत भी नहीं, दिल से उतर भी नहीं जाता। कुर्बत भी नहीं, दिल से उतर भी नहीं जाता, वो शख्स कोई फैसला कर भी नहीं जाता. आंखें है कि खाली नहीं रहती लहू से, आंखें है कि खाली नहीं रहती लहू से, और जख्मे जुदाई है कि भर भी नहीं जाता.
ओहो.
वो राहते जा है मगर इस दर बदरी में, वो राहते जा है मगर इस दर बदरी में, ऐसा है कि अब ध्यान उधर भी नहीं जाता. हम दोहरी नहीं, एक सेकंड, दिल को तेरी चाहत पे भरोसा भी बहुत है, दिल को तेरी चाहत पे भरोसा भी बहुत है, और तुझसे बिछड़ जाने का डर भी नहीं जाता. पागल हुए जाते हो फराज, उससे मिले क्या. दिस इज द लास्ट वन एंड इट्स माय फेवरेट. पागल हुए जाते हो फराज, उससे मिले क्या, इतनी सी खुशी से कोई मर भी नहीं जाता.
ओह माय गॉड, ऑलराइट. दैट इज, आई थिंक उफ इज द राइट रिएक्शन टू दिस.
या इट इज. प्लीज प्लीज रिस्पोंड विद उफ उफ इन द चैट गाइस.
There is something so delicious about this poem. There is just, you can't pinpoint it. It's just, it's that shade of love that you, there's no word for it.
Hmm.
Where does the shade of love fall in? When it's playful, it's, you're missing somebody, but at the same time, it's a sort of tongue in cheek.
Yeah. And it's, I think this is the most consistent type of love that I have written about as well in my work, which is that that impermanence of love, you know, where you're like, where, you know, like sometimes when you're falling in love, you're also sort of moving on at the same time because you know that this is not going to last. So you're just so like in between of that, that you're constantly back and forth. On days you're just there, and then on days you just take a step back, and it's a constant dynamic.
We think of love as this steady, rock steady thing, but it's actually just a paper boat on the sea, man.
Oh, I've recently used this metaphor in one of my poems that I wrote.
Really?
That I was like, it's a paper boat. Like, why did we make a paper boat out and leave it in the waters, you know?
Yeah. And then we put in all our hopes and dreams on that one paper boat and say, stay, do not drown.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, that escalated quickly.
Yeah. Lot of oofs in the chat. Love it.
Lot of oofs. All right. I have a very different kind of poem. Wait, let me see if I can share the screen. And hold on. So that at least people can see it.
Mm-hmm. You know who says love has different shades, but I am colorblind. I suppose you are also single.
Oh. Damn, Haley.
He said he's colorblind. I mean, I'm assuming it's a he. I'm sorry. It could be.
Yeah, it could be. But yeah, even we don't know. That was such an amazing poem. So this is one of my favorite authors. Her name is Dorothy Parker. And this is a poem. So Dorothy Parker writes poems which are very sharp, very mischievous, and very deep at the same time. So this poem is called The Danger of Writing Defiant Verse.
Okay.
And she writes in rhyme, which I always like.
Great. Go for it.
And now I have another lad. No longer need you tell how all my nights are slow and sad for loving you too well. His ways are not your wicked ways. He's not the like of you. He treads his path of reckoned days, a sober man and true. They'll never see him in the town. Another on his knee, he'd cut his laden orchards down if that would pleasure me. He'd give his blood to paint my lips if I should wish them red. He prays to touch my fingertips or stroke my prideful head. He never weaves his a glinting tie or bracks the hearts he'll keep. I have forgotten how to sigh, remembered how to sleep. He's none to kiss away my mind, a slower way is his. Oh Lord, on reading this I find a silly lot he is.
Oh, this is so nice.
The thing I like about Dorothy Parker is she takes things very seriously and she completely knocks them down. And you can tell that this is somebody who has thought about it through and not stopped at the seriousness of it, but rather gone ahead and realized that, hey, you can mock anyone, you can mock anything. And I just love the way that she's written this. So there's another one by Dorothy Parker. It's a very small one. It's called Resume. Razors pain you, rivers are damp. Acids stain you, drugs cause cramp. Guns are lawful, nooses give. Gas smells awful, you might as well live. This is one of the best arguments for not killing yourself.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It just struck me. Like, it took a second. This is like, oh, all the ways to die are bad, so just might as well
live. You might as well live.
This is crazy.
This is actually very reminiscent of a poem that you had shared called, what was it?
The Suicide Song.
Suicide Song.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have it, but there is, who's it? Who's it by? Hold on. Let me show.
I probably have it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Just one second though.
You can tell me the name. I think that everyone should hear it.
Yeah, one. Just give me one second.
Yeah.
It's Tony Hoagland.
You had shared it on Twitter, right?
Yes.
I think I might have. Just one second. I think I might have. I think I've bookmarked it and kept. Hold on. Bookmark. Yeah. This one.
Do you want me to read it or do you
yes,
want to read it?
Yes, you are. You should read it.
Okay. Suicide Song. But now I am afraid I know too much to kill myself, though I would still like to jump off a high bridge at midnight or paddle a kayak out to sea until I turn into a speck or wear a necktie made of knotted rope. But people would squirm. It would hurt them in some way. And I'm too knowledgeable now to hurt people imprecisely. No longer do I live by the law of me. No longer having the excuse of youth or craziness. And dying, you know, shows a serious ingratitude for sunsets and beehive hairdos and the precious green corrugated pickles they place at the edge of your plate. Killing yourself is wasteful, like spilling oil at sea or not recycling all the kisses you've been given. And anyway, who has clothes nice enough to be caught dead in?
Damn.
Not me. You stay alive, you stupid asshole, because you haven't been excused. You haven't finished, though it takes a mulish stubbornness to chew this food. It is a stone. It is an inconvenience. It is an innocence. And I turn against it like a record. Turns against the needle that makes it play.
Damn it. There are lines in this poem that hit me like a hammer. Killing yourself is wasteful, like spilling oil. Not recycling all the kisses,
you've been given.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Line.
It just turns everything in its head. You think of every experience that you've had as something that you have to give back.
Yeah.
So you're not done. You can't leave without paying your... Oh, wow.
It says that dying shows a serious ingratitude for sunsets, for all of this. And it's so...
This is too powerful. I remember the first time I read this and it just blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That how... Imagine trying to put all the emotions that you got while reading this poem. Imagine trying to put it into text. It's so difficult. There are limitations to prose, and poetry just seems to go over it. Poetry just seems to go directly into a different place in your head and makes you feel things that somehow, you know, an explanation or a paragraph can't.
Yeah. Like I've never thought about spilling your oil at sea in the context of killing yourself and how wasteful it can be.
Oh man. I've realized that when you look back at all the poems that you've written, you've written them at different points in time, right?
Hmm.
You haven't always thought about when you're writing this or why you're writing this. But when you look back, you can almost make a chronicle of your life and arrange them in sequence and say that this marked the start of my relationship, or this marked sort of like the beginning or the end of this relationship, or this was when I did that solo trip to this country or this state, and I had this experience and I wrote it
Like
over
your
here.
life gets earmarked with poetry.
Beautiful. Exactly. Exactly. So you pick one poem and you open that chapter of your life. Is that something that happens with you?
Yeah, for sure. I think when you go back to old poems, it's like even with music, this happens that when you go back to old music, old songs, you can
Yeah.
remember a specific place in your life. And similarly with poetry, especially when you're the one who's written it, or if you've read it and it stayed with you, like someone else's poem also, it can take you back to that phase of your life when
Oh, yeah.
and how you felt back then. I think we all do this with art. I've found myself sometimes going and watching old shows, not because, you know, they're so amazing, but because they remind me of this very stress-free time in my life. And I just want to be reminded of that. So I'll go and watch old shows or read an old poem and think about, oh, what must I have been thinking then, you know?
And it's like you have an access key to an earlier version of yourself. And for a while you are that person. You don't have the
Exactly. For a while it just feels so nice. Like you feel like a weight has been lifted off of you, this weight of like aging.
Wow. Wow, that is exactly true.
You
I mean, I'm just thinking about, yeah, the weight of aging gets reversed. That's true. Do you write, do you feel like you've written poems at the start of a relationship? Can you share something in a way that so now that we're talking about relationships, can you share something that you've written at the start of a relationship?
I can, but I have to tell you, it's very like it's something that I wrote that I find it a bit childish now because I think
Okay.
अब मेरा थोड़ा से थोड़ी सी
Sure,
प्रैक्टिकली है
standards.
मैं नहीं खुद को थोड़ा ज्यादा जज करती हूँ मैं जितना पहले नहीं करती थी. तो
Fair enough.
I have something before.
Yes, do
So
share.
I will tell you when I wrote this. Not very long ago, like 3 4 years ago only,
Okay.
but it was definitely at the start of something, at the beginning of something. So, and like the poem henceforth will be pretty self-explanatory, but
Go ahead.
I love new beginnings, the restlessness, the sweet tingling sensation that it brings. A nonchalant hug, the look on his face when he spots you in the crowd. I love first dates. With all the awkwardness, inadvertent pauses and questions and our responses, I love the start of new seasons. The flowers blooming or leaves crumpling on the ground, the glaring sun turning into moonless, chilly nights. I like the uncertainty of the unknown. I like the comfort in being reckless. I love the glass half empty that leaves you wanting for more, and life's unpredictability that makes every window a door.
Damn. This
Yeah.
whole poem is one song of promise.
Exactly, because that's how you feel in the beginning of any new relationship. There's just so, like, never in my life would I ever say this sentence again that I like the uncertainty of the unknown. Never. The only time that could happen is at the beginning of a
Beginning of a
new, like, you
relationship,
know, bond when you're forging a new relationship.
because at every other
Otherwise,
time,
unknown and uncertainty is so like
anxiety
sketchy.
triggering.
Exactly.
There is always something that love makes you, like love makes you a little crazy. You are not your usual sane self. When those neural networks start kicking in, the rest of your logical self doesn't work in the same way that you would have otherwise. And I think that's something that we just have to accept and not expect ourselves to be that
Why do I
reasonable.
feel like Why do I feel like you're saying this to preface your poem?
I was just actually thinking about the initial days of love, but all right, thanks for that, Haley.
Hey, no, it's a great segue for you to do your poem now. That's what I was looking at.
Oh, wow. I have, so I've written a couple of poems which I've...
But, like, not to invalidate what you said, I completely agree. It does make you
yeah, I mean,
crazy.
It does, and right?
Definitely the neural networks.
Okay, so I've written one, which is... wait, what was it called? It's called In Passing, and it's okay, it goes like this. It's not even first love, it's sort of like that first meet or something like that. Okay, it goes like this. Our eyes meet on a crowded street. You're walking towards my way. And between us, there ensues a tug of war at play. We're both curious, we're both cautious, we're both certain it won't last. Before either you or I could win, both you and the moments passed. But a piece of me is broken off. You must have pulled it through. And left behind in its place, I find in my heart a piece of you.
Oh.
That's it. It's just something that...
I've told you this before and I'm going to say it again. That a lot of times when I listen to rhymes, they feel very like imposed, but mm-hmm. never with your poems. Like they're just so seamlessly like a part of the whole... You know, the whole circuit, it's absolutely amazing. I love it. I love the
Thank book. You. Thank you. It's, I've always tried to write and rhyme right since I was a kid. And it's something that I'm changing actually now. Mm-hmm. So recently a lot of
Thank
my poems.
You.
Yes, I'm trying to go away from rhyme just to see if I can. And for that, I think a lot of your poems and even what... So Aranya, I think, uses a lot of internal rhymes.
Yes.
Right?
A lot of slant rhymes.
Yes, a lot of slant rhymes. And I keep hearing it.
Yeah.
You know, when I listen to poetry, earlier my ears would be sort of waiting for it.
Hmm.
I'd be waiting for that rhyme. And when they wouldn't come, I would have the sense of, kidhar gaya ho? And now I've just started going... Now I don't do that anymore.
Hmm.
Now poetry is... I start looking at the patterns. I start looking at what are the visual patterns that poem is drawing.
Hmm.
That's sort of how it is. And when... Okay, so this is... I don't know if I've told you this, but... I had started collecting all the poems that I'd written. Okay, so this was like a year ago or so. And it came to my mind that... Let's see how many you've written, what all are hiding in what diaries and where, which laptop has one folder called poetry or poems, and you don't even know where all they've gone. And you just start collecting them, and I realized that you can sort of arrange them chronologically, and it does make a story of a relationship.
Yeah.
And it does go through the stage of falling in love, and there is this phase where things are a little complicated and you don't know what's going on, and then there's a breakup, and then there is this whole recovery phase, and you have poems depicting almost like a representative of each stage.
Yeah
is that something that you go through as well?
For sure. I think like now that you say it, I do feel that like we've all written like poems and all of these. Then
Oh, hang on, Haley. I think there's a lag.
It's like you can map your.
One second. I think there's a bit of a lag in your in the last 30 seconds. I couldn't hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I hope Mike is fine.
Yeah, I think it's better now.
Yeah, my connection's a bit unstable. Probably why.
Okay. Fine. No worries. Wait. So you're not sharing screen or anything, are you?
It's better.
Yeah, but I think there's an audio-video lag. I think your audio is coming fine, but the video is lagging just maybe a couple of seconds. I think we'll just wait for a minute. I'll just see what chat is up to. And I think it should autocorrect.
Yeah, I think.
BSNL OP is going on in the chat. All right. क्या वर्ड बनेगा? मेरे को अभी बस राइमिंग वाले पोएम ही पोएम लगते हैं. ओके एनीवे आई थिंक दैट इज समथिंग दैट वी स्टार्ट ऑफ विथ, बट देर इज अ लॉट मोर टू पोएट्री देन जस्ट राइम फॉर श्योर. स्नैप्स मेक मूवी सॉन्ग्स कॉपी करो आप. वाई सिट स्टेयरिंग स्ट्रेट इनटू माय सोल माय गॉड. ओके लव इज अ लाइव स्ट्रीम एंड आई एम यूजिंग BSNL.
Oh God!
Oh damn it! that was poetry in a way. All right. Okay. Now you're all good, Haley. Now you're
roasting
back.
Through poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just saying that I totally agree with you. I think we've all written poems in all those different phases, and because love is probably one of those topics that we write the most about,
yeah.
Most of us,
mm-hmm.
Not meaning to generalize, but so yeah, I think you can find like poems about every stage. That's true. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's see. Let's see if you can classify poems, and let's see if you can represent every stage. I'm sure everybody in the chat is at some stage of, or has been at one of these stages of love. So let's see if we can do something on each stage. What do you say?
I think we've already covered like getting to know someone stage, like the
yeah.
very first.
That first spark.
Yeah, first spark. I think now I can do like the whole love stage, like where you like, you know, you're falling in love or.
Okay.
That.
Yeah, go for it. What's your representative one for that?
It's a page poem that I like to call Winter Wife.
Winter Wife.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And all of this is like exclusive content, guys. So I'm like scared now to share it, but I mean,
no,
anyway.
No, go ahead.
All right. Moonshine, sun glaze, periwinkle eyes, death stare, cotton kiss, winter wife. Lay beside in nakedness. My lips curl on your chest. You sigh as though holding a summer night in your breath. Your face, a glorious dream. How do I fall asleep tonight? I am entangled in the web of your towering body. Quivering under my snakeskin, I shed in affinity each time you touch me. Though I often wonder behind closed eyes the number of times your origami heart has come undone. How many pairs of sunflower breasts have shared your sunshine? Whether your steel teeth tell steely lies, hold my fears captive, my mind a hostage to your eyes.
Damn.
It is all in my head. I am aware. You call yourself foolish. Maybe you are. How dare. I'm here to spend a few more nights, a few more winters till the icebergs surface. Hold my wooden hands to your burning embrace. I've been used as an antidote. Kiss me to life till I find myself another summer to die.
God damn it. Oh boy. There are lines in that poem that are mind-blowing. Steely lies to hold you in a cage. Oh my God. Too good.
Thank you.
I think I'll... So the stream is going to be there, right? So yeah, we can always visit this again. Yeah, because I think I'll need to just listen to it again because there are...
I'll share the text with you also. It's a page thing, so you might
yeah,
be
yeah.
reading it.
Perfect. Yeah, I can even share it on the... Yeah, on the comments. That is brilliant. Thank you, Kelly. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Chat. Okay, yeah. Chat is already spamming hearts. Yeah, please do chat. That was incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Usko voice note. Yeah, just a lot of hearts. Lot of hearts. Okay, so when I think of a love poem, I don't write much, actually, on like a traditional love poem. The only one that I've written that is close is the English Ghazal. And I think that I would like to share that one.
Amazing.
It's called a one night stanza. And again, self-explanatory. I see second thoughts in your eyes tonight. I see second thoughts in your eyes tonight. I think I will love you twice tonight. For you, our love is a game of chess. For you, our love is a game of chess. For me, I'm rolling dice tonight. Your secrets have left you frozen still. Your secrets have left you frozen still. My curiosity will break the ice tonight. Your brain needs a reason either way. Your brain needs a reason either way. Let the why not win over the whys tonight. And yes, I will take all that you have. And yes, I will take all that you have, but just your mind may suffice tonight. The pleasure lies in the pain, I hope. The pleasure lies in the pain, I hope you don't waste time being nice tonight. I see second thoughts in your eyes tonight. I think I love you twice tonight. That was a...
This poem is basically a big ass pickup line. It's not, oh my god, guys, you have to
you have to what? Use this,
so you
use
have
this
to,
at
you
a bar.
Pickup line OP in the chat. But it's so good. Oh my god.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever.
I'm so sorry, but I just want to tell the chat, guys. गजल्स अक्सर हिंदी में लिखी जाती है, मोर और लेस सब हिंदी में ही लिखते हैं, बहुत कम लोग हैं जो इंग्लिश में लिखते हैं, एंड सिड इज वन ऑफ दोस फ्यू पीपल दैट आई नो हु राइट्स इंग्लिश गजल्स, बिकॉज़ गजल का वो फॉर्मेट होता है जहां पे देयर हैज टू बी अ राइम, द लास्ट वर्ड हैज टू बी द सेम, उसको सब काफिया मतलब
रदीफ काफिया ऑल दैट,
या रदीफ, सो बट Yeah, so this is a really unique format in which Sid has chosen to break ice and pick up women.
That was not the intention. Do not ruin it.
No. I'm sorry.
No.
It's absolutely amazing. I absolutely love it.
If somebody does want to use this poem as a pickup line, you are welcome to. Just make sure that you tag me and like, share, and subscribe. That's...
Yes, that's the price you have to pay. Those are the charges for using Dr. Sid's poem. And give due credits.
Yes.
Some of the, it's just so smooth, like the entire poem. And not just in terms of like, oh, it's a smooth, like flirty thing. But also just some of the lines, like, you know, the opening only, I think I'll love you twice tonight, you know. It's so, there's just so many undercurrents to the
I wrote this poem after I started just exploring how different kind of poets write about love and sexuality, and this was an area that I had never really thought about, because for me traditional poetry never really goes there. It doesn't go into like those slightly dark or taboo areas, or you know, it's, and that is also a part of love, that is also a part of relationships, but poetry doesn't go there.
Erotic
poetry is a whole it's a whole other genre, but it's not really mainstream. And it did actually get me thinking, because if poetry is a way of thinking, and if you do think about those things at some point, then why not bring poetry there? It's not like poetry is like this sacred thing that should not go into anything erotic.
Yeah.
You know, so this was sort of like an experiment in that. Have you read this? Okay. Have you heard of this author called W.H. Auden?
Yes. Oh, if equal affections cannot be, let the more loving one.
Oh my God. So his love poems are unbelievable. They're very, very good.
Very, very amazing.
He is, I believe he's gay. He
Okay.
was. And he has written, since we're talking of erotic poetry, he has written the most erotic poem I've ever read.
Okay.
And it's a gay poem.
Okay.
And it's called The Platonic Blow.
Okay.
And I'm not going to share the screen, I'm not going to read it out, but if there are poetry lovers, and if there are erotic poetry lovers, or if there are erotica lovers, this poem has to be read. Go for it, go read it. I'm not kidding. It makes your mind just blow up with the concept of what poetry can be. You know, so you know that sure you can write about the first love, sure you can write about how, you know, things are so intense, but the idea that poems can explore something as so it's basically about him picking up a guy and taking him back to his place. That's it. That's what the theme is. Just completely changed the way I look at poetry.
Yeah. I think that's what we tell ourselves, that we need to write poetry about the most intense of emotions that we feel.
Yeah.
And it's not true. The poems can be about the most simplest of things as well.
Right.
In fact, I'll tell you this one poem, because we're talking about this, and it's just such a simple poem, but have you heard of Wendy Cope? So Wendy Cope has this poem. Let me just find it. It's called The Orange.
Okay.
Heard of that poem?
No.
But it's a very simple poem, okay. But I absolutely love what it represents.
All
Should
right.
I share it
Yes,
with you?
please do. Yes.
Okay.
That's what the stream is for.
So you can even share the screen if you want to find it and put it up. You can do.
No, it's okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, The Orange by Wendy Cope. At lunchtime, I bought a huge orange. The size of it made us all laugh. I peeled it and shared it with Robert and Dave. They got quarters and I had a half. And that orange, it made me so happy. As ordinary things often do, just lately, the shopping, the walk in the park, a walk in the park. This is peace and contentment. It's new. The rest of the day was quite easy. I did all the jobs on my list and enjoyed them and had some time over. I love you. I am glad I exist.
Wow. Yeah, this is a great example of the everyday can become so much more.
Exactly. And how there are so many elements. Like she talks about how this is peace and contentment.
Yeah.
It's new. Just it's new tells you so much without actually saying anything
Yeah.
about what was the old like, you know.
Correct. You feel like you've actually seen an entire movie. You get an idea of what she was going through before us, also, even though she didn't
Exactly.
say anything.
And like how she mentions that I peeled it and shared it with Robert and Dave. Like I think it's all those little things, and it's so simple, but like the idea of friendship, the idea of a walk in the park, it's just, yeah.
Damn.
Really, really like it.
Yeah, it's when you go through life, I feel that when you do something like this, when you take up poetry and you start thinking about writing, a lot of things that you wouldn't have noticed start popping out.
Yeah.
And poetry is literally putting any two things together. And if you are thinking about your life and your relationship and you are slicing an orange, I can very easily see how your brain could just
Connect the
correlate,
dots.
yeah, connect
Yeah.
the dots.
True.
There was something that I had. It's an extremely small piece, okay? And it was sort of on this lines of I had written this again at the start of a relationship, and when we're talking of correlating random things, Okay, I'm just going to read it out. It's called Tic-Tac-Toe.
Okay.
Our love was a game of tic-tac-toe. I played X, she played O. She curved right, and I did cross. Came left and drew a line across our moment. Though it was done, I didn't feel like I had won. Since that game, I've come to know X doesn't win if she doesn't O.
Love the word.
It was sort of an attempt to, on the same line of thought.
Amazing.
Has a poem helped you cope?
Yeah. I think art overall has helped me cope, and poems specifically. I think just reading poetry, you find so much solace, and sometimes just like the closure that you can't find in a person, you'll find it in a poem.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
And you just, you're going through so much, and just sort of writing down that poem gives shapeless things a shape.
Yeah.
And now you know, okay, this is what it was.
This is what it was. Yeah, for sure. I think if you're talking about like writing in like poetry in terms of writing, definitely even just reading, like just consuming, the consumption of that poem also can help you cope.
You know? And sometimes you just find the poem that you're looking for.
Yeah.
That just mirrors.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't write a lot of sad poems. But I feel that heartbreak is a great stimulus for poetry.
For sure, yeah. It's, most people start writing poetry when they go through a heartbreak only.
Yeah, it's the one good thing that heartbreak brings out. I mean, my advice to everybody is that if you have to break up, at least get a couple of good poems out of it. Trust me, baad mein you will thank me. It's better than not.
Yeah, that's also true.
It's I don't know, are there any poems like that you feel comfortable sharing, since we have reached the relationship road?
I think so, yeah. I think I'll share something from my Instagram only.
Okay, so something
I mean, I've already shared, so it's like
pain brings poetry. That's true. Let's make a poem on Ludo. So guys, so this is what the experiment is. You pick up any game and you pick up any emotion and you can write a poem. That's what pattern recognition is.
Yes.
Right? So it's an easy exercise. If anybody wants to start off and you just want to experiment, this is how you do it. You pick any emotion that you're feeling, pick any game and write a poem.
Amazing. You being a neuroscience expert and being a poet, you're just probably doing this in neuroscience workshops as well, where you get people to write poetry.
I didn't, but I'm going to incorporate this in the next one for sure.
Amazing.
Definitely. I'll call you as one of the guest lecturers, and we can do a neuroscience and poetry workshop. That'll be super fun.
Yeah, that's so cool. I think we can find out other things also, because I think, just what we discussed, like connecting the dots, pattern recognition, all of this is like, it's both great for your brain and also for like writers.
Exactly. So, yeah. You can demystify creativity in a way and make it a little bit more in your control. So.
Yeah. I mean, also, but you know, I think there is some sort of, the satisfaction that we find as artists in the mystery of creativity. So definitely you wouldn't want to demystify it all in all.
You can't do that fully though. It's not possible.
Then we can do this then.
Absolutely. I think it's the way to look at it is that a professional guitarist still has fun creating music. Just because he knows the rules of the guitar doesn't mean that he's not having fun with it. In fact, he gets to have more fun with it, because now he has more control over it.
Right,
I think that's the way to look at poetry, that
yeah,
once you know that you can write anything, now what do you
then
do?
Then you have that stimulus, like then you can stimulate that environment. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That'd be fun. Let's do that.
Okay. Cool. I think I found like two poems I want to share.
Go
Both
for
are
it.
Very short.
Go for it.
But I think I'll share this one first. Actually, yeah, maybe I'll just share one. Let's see. Okay. Missing you is the easiest thing to do. From the minute I wake, it is infinite. So forgetting, I imagine, will be sudden, like an accident or a mistake I will never intend to make. But when I do, it will already be a new day in the middle of my mundane. I imagine in the newfound room in my mind, I will want to dance, throw a party, bid farewell to memory. And my choice of music will be the lack of sound. I imagine after all this loud missing, forgetting will be so quiet, I will be able to hear a heart, my own in my chest, beating for me once again. Beating for me, not against.
Damn that ending. The idea of forgetting is an accident. That is exactly how it goes. Like one day you just wake up and you're like, oh yeah, that feels different.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of this person in a while.
Yeah.
Did this come in a flow?
Yeah, it did.
It. I don't know if you can feel it, but sometimes you can tell. Poems that have come in a flow and poems that have been worked on. Not all the time, but there are some poems that feel like this was just
one flow.
There is nothing stopping in it. It's actually a beautiful thing. Wow.
Yay.
This is guys, again, all right. There are aspects to love that I feel that even we don't understand. And when we go through it and when we go through a heartbreak, there is so much loss of control. I think that writing a poem like this is one way of us getting ourselves back in hand.
Yes. I think writing helps you do is take control of the narrative.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you experience these things, you feel like, you know, a lot of it is not in your control.
Yeah.
And whether it is because you have handed over the control to the other person, or whether it is because you just feel helpless, even though you're the one who made that choice.
Yeah.
Like even then you can feel helpless. So it's really important to take hold of the narrative, and that's how writing helps you cope, I guess.
It's all about, somebody just said, it's Aditi Patil, it's all about control. It is, that is so true.
Yeah.
And my heartbreak poem was sort of on the idea of that phase where you know that a relationship is ending, but it's not ended.
Yeah.
And there is no control there. You have no idea, you know, if you're here or there.
Yeah.
And when we talk about control, it's just, that's, one second, I think I'll just read it out. I have never read this one out. I have actually never performed this in public anywhere.
Go for it.
All right. Okay. This, it's called Break My Heart. My love, this pain of uncertainty is unbearable. So I am begging you, my darling, break my heart and go. Gladly I will come to terms with my wretched state, for no more do I have to question and no longer need I wait. the sound of my silent mourning would give the sound of my silent mourning would ring far more sweet than your stoic wall of silence that neither reaches nor retreats. Push me, for I'm perched precarious on this awkward fence, where giving up is too painful and giving in makes no sense. The chasm of grief you will leave behind would be easier to bear than the nauseating stench of hope that now hangs in the air. For every spasm of regret that I may go through, better than be trapped in foolish promises of you. In time, my mind would free itself from the memories of your face. Learn to look at a stranger's and not see yours in its place. Yet now you will shade my every moment till you let me know. So I'm begging you, my darling, break my heart and go. That's it. It's a small piece, but... I realized why I've never read this out in public before. Halfway through that poem, I just remembered why I didn't.
Okay. You want to share why?
No, so this is... I remember the purpose of writing this poem, that it was sort of to clarify what was happening in my head. And that was one of the first times I realized the beauty of poetry, that we could have talked about something like this for an hour and without completely understanding it. But trying to fit it, at least for me, and it'll be different for everybody else, but trying to fit it within that structure of a poem just helps arrange everything. It just seems like now everything has its own pattern. You know, that's so...
I think I, some of those, like, firstly, the poem is so beautiful. Please send it to me because I want to read it.
Okay, sure.
And secondly, like, something that's like one of the lines, the one that talks about the stench of hope.
Yeah.
That it's such a beautiful way of putting it, because most of the times we see hope as such a optimistic, positive thing.
Yeah.
But only when things are like this, the hope stinks. Like that, it's stench, you know?
It's the worst.
Yeah, and it's like, I think that's what I have also been thinking about a lot, that how hope in the wrong hands can feel as though it's misplaced, you know?
God damn, yeah.
Like, generally we don't see hope as a bad thing, but when we hand it over to someone else, that's when it feels...
Yeah, what you said, absolutely. The hope is a positive thing for almost every other time, but then sometimes it's, you have to identify when it's holding you back. And there it's a problem.
Yeah.
What was the second one that you were going to share?
The poem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can.
Yeah, you can. Hope
but
is a scam.
You should definitely go through the comments, Sid. The chat has loved your piece.
Hey, thanks. Thank you, guys. That phase is a nightmare, all right? Kidhar le.
Us raat apun 2 baje tak diya.
God damn it. Sid, I just pulled a bandaid on my heart in one go. All right. I should put my poems on Discord. All right, guys. I will, for sure. I'll share it on Discord. It helps you move on.
Just Khadri says hope is a scam.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
You should do neuroscience of hope. Have you done it yet?
I've done it very briefly. I did it when we welcomed 2021. But I did not say hope is a scam, though. I wanted to keep it positive.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a scam, though. Like, I think that like on most days, it's what gets you by. So I feel like, it's inevitable. It's part of the human nature, part of the human psyche.
It is. And you do want that. You do want to wake up and feel that something good is going to happen today.
Yeah.
And you have to. So then what you can say is that other thing is not really hope. what we were describing, that the stench of hope, it's not really hope. We just mistake it as hope. It could be something else. Maybe it's a problem with our linguistics. Because I get what you're saying.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I get what you're saying, that you do need to feel that life is going to get better. But then the question is, then what is better? And maybe it's not the best thing. What you're doing is not the healthy thing. Right. Maybe we should talk about this.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because maybe the reason why we see it as hope, but when it does, like, but it's still a negative thing, is because it's not hope. It's something else. It's finding. It's maybe that when we find things are harder to let go, and we're not unable to let go, and when you're holding on to something that's actually just giving you more pain, maybe it's those.
There is a cognitive bias called as anchoring bias.
Okay.
And what anchoring bias is, that you sort of anchor your beliefs onto one point, and you find yourself unable to go very far from it.
Right.
So it comes in the way of you growing and learning new things.
I think Nitin Nair has put it very well. He says it's false hope.
Yeah, fair enough. And that's the thing with false things, that it's only false in retrospect.
Yeah.
When you're going through it, it's, how do you know if it's false?
It's
or not?
Hindsight bias.
It's beautiful. I don't know if that's a thing, but it should be a thing.
Yeah.
All right. I want to hear the other one.
Yeah. So, okay. This is okay. I'll maybe not give a preamble. Maybe we can talk about it later. But yeah, Kishore Kumar on the Morgan Beach. Kishore Kumar on the Morgan Beach, arms around each other, we danced, counted the stars that we could see, counted you, counted me. Love turns into music. Love turns into the night. Then comes the dawn's choreography. The sea brand new, the music fades. No one dances at the waves break. Two stars fall off the sky.
Damn it. I love it. I love how you built it up to that point. Yeah, it's you get the sense of how the next day everything else is going to remain the same. And do you sometimes think of how love ending is such a life-changing event for you and nobody else gives a fuck?
I know, right?
It's just so crazy.
It's how like everything stays the same, yet nothing is the same.
Yeah.
You still wake up in the same bed. You still go about your day the same way.
Yeah.
But, and so to the outside world, like the traffic is the same. The sun and the moon and the stars and everything is in place. But something is so life-alteringly different about you.
Wow, this is this is the problem with the poetic conversations, because poems do lead into one another.
Yes.
This one is called Love Died. Love died, not with the fanfare of a hijacked airplane crashing into my home, but with the quiet inevitability of a glacier melting somewhere in the middle of the Arctic Ocean. It left no trail of destruction, no burning wreckage. It wasn't reported in the daily news. Nothing changed except a rising sea level. Now my world is drowning and only I know why.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wow.
Oh,
I'm just exiting this.
Oh man, this is, it just reminds me of, come back Haley, this conversation has everything, don't go.
Yeah, no, I had to do the dramatic exit and then come back because so good.
Wow, man. This is what poetry does. And poems lead to poems.
For sure. The quiet inevitability. So beautiful. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. I feel like we are having a conversation in poems. It's literally like that. We don't really need all this intervening conversations, you know. It could just be poem, that's it. Just,
yeah. Yeah, but you're right about that, you know. One poem does lead to another, I think, because like now I'm thinking about all the poems that correlate with the emotion you just shared.
Exactly.
So, that's true.
So maybe when I'm not sure how much chat is with us on this thought, but I would love to do that. Maybe not today, but maybe at a different time. But I had once done this. I had done this as an exercise at I started a poetry club in Lucknow, and in one of our sessions, after everybody was done reading and some people left, and there were around 7-8 of us sitting around, and we were just talking, and one by one we were sharing random poems, and all conversation between poems had stopped. So everybody would read a poem, and then somebody would read a poem linking the first one to the next.
Right.
And because there were 8-9 of us and everybody had like a pretty decent collection, it actually became a conversation in poetry. And it would be very, very interesting to try and do that. Maybe the next time we all sit together.
It could
be very interesting to try that out. Yeah. Let's do that.
Definitely.
Questions only. All right, chat. What's happening, guys? So this is a very different kind of podcast, I know, and this is a very different kind of conversation. And tell me how you guys are finding this. This is something that I'm having the time of my life here. Because this is just the kind of conversation that I really like to do. And I hope that all of you are enjoying this as well. Somebody had said, why can't we have conversations like this in college? And that's actually a great idea. We should just take these sort of discussions to colleges and have it. Because I'm sure there are a lot of kids out there who want to think about poetry differently. And I think there's something like this just opens up their mind.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's something that's been on my mind too. Just introducing poetry like as a life skill, you know. I mean, in like schools and in educational institutions, because I feel like it helps you in so many ways, not just as an art form, but just as a life skill. It helps, like we spoke about it, it helps you cope. And so many of us struggle to express our emotions or to be able to talk about things with other people. But poetry allows you to at least have a conversation with yourself. And that's just the start.
Wow. I love that. That is exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah, poetry allows you to have a conversation with yourself more before anything else, before you put it out to anyone else. It's just you listening to you telling yourself that I hear you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's true. Okay, that was my
mind. So that's so what you said, I think that's something that's been on my mind too. I just don't know if I have the resources to do that right now, but at some point for sure. And I think that's what like Sarah K and Phil K are doing with their Project Voice.
Yeah.
They take poetry to schools and educational institutions, which is amazing.
Which is brilliant.
And I think there is so much scope for that in India.
If you had to give a TED talk, what would you give it on?
So far, I have said no to so many TED talks.
Why?
Because I feel like, I don't know, I have this thing of like, oh, I want to have something to say. Like, of course, TED is exchange of ideas, and not that I don't have that, but I just feel like, I guess I'm just not there yet.
Interesting. I don't know why I thought of asking you that, because it wasn't something on my mind, but just suddenly when you talked about going to schools and you know, doing this, it felt like that's something, like it hit a spark in my head. I could just imagine you doing that and that stage and everything.
Maybe
just...
if I do that, then I will definitely give a TED talk after.
that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. All right, so I wanted to wrap it up in an hour, 1.5 hours. So there are a couple of things that I wanted to ask you. Where do you think poetry is going now? in the last 10 years, I think we have seen a lot of changes in the way that our country deals with poems.
Mm.
And the public stage has changed for poetry entirely. What's next? Where do you think stand-up is going after this? Spoken word is going after this?
I honestly, I cannot speak for the last 10 years because I don't think I have that much retrospect to offer. But I do see the growth just in the last 3 to 4 years. And I feel like it is becoming a wider and wider platform. And I like that the growth is not just vertical, it's also horizontal.
Hmm.
Like it has to go across a lot
yeah.
of fields as well. And so I think right now, I feel like there is a lot of scope for poetry, and we just need to also explore different formats.
Mm.
I think the only thing that I see is we see videos in a very specific format. So I think that viewers' experience, if we could change that for them,
yeah.
I think that could open a new door. Not that especially because of the pandemic, to be honest, because I mean, that's what even stand-up comedians struggled with that. Like
yeah.
How to do this across
screens.
Zoom. Yeah, how to do this across screens.
Yeah.
So I think that is one thing that we need to maybe see. But yeah, I do see poetry growing a lot, and it has grown so much. And just like where, I mean, I am not the same person I was before poetry or
yeah.
before I got into performance poetry. So if poetry can do that to one person, you can only imagine how much it can do to yeah everyone. So
Wes, do you have plans that you want to share? Is there something coming up? Is there something that you are...
I think I've already shared like a very big plan at this point, which I never really thought of I never even conveyed it to anybody else that I
mm-hmm.
did, like about taking poetry to, you know?
So yeah, to the... Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I think that's something that's... I wish I could say it's in the pipeline. I think maybe that'll take much longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something, it's been a bit of a dream of mine. And I think even, like, just because I love poetry and I love teaching. And I think it could be a great just...
Combining the two.
Yeah, exactly. So that I think could be really nice.
Wow.
And other than that, there's no announcement officially yet, but I have a video releasing this Saturday on Paper Tale.
Excellent.
So watch it, guys.
It's a story?
Yes, it's a story. Paper Tale is a storytelling platform.
Yeah.
So you guys can check it out.
Lovely. All right. So I'm going to...
That is the... Yeah.
Yeah, you were saying?
No, that's it. I'm like, that is the nearest thing that's coming up. Like... the most recent
send me
yeah.
the link and I can just put it under the in the description, so whoever will watch this video will
yeah,
look for it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
sure. Like, I mean, it's not out yet, it'll be out this Saturday, so
okay,
it's gonna take a few more days.
Yeah,
yeah.
So then I'll put it up there. Chat, thank you so much. I hope that you enjoyed today's discussion, and I hope that you enjoyed all the poems that we shared. A lot of it was unplanned, some of it we did have an idea of what you wanted to do, but literally there were poems that I shared which I didn't think that I would. And thank you for being an amazing audience as always. And I shall see you next week. Hailey, you've been amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. I have to say this has been the highlight of my day today.
Oh, nice.
So thank you so much.
All right. Like the stream, guys. And I shall see you soon. See you. Good night, everyone.